Some people are sent to go do. Some people are there to give. And it's really a teamwork. You can't have one without the other. We are not here building hundreds of homes a year without people coming, without other people giving generously. And so it's really a giant work of the body of Christ. You can't have one without the other.
If the program of Child Voice can touch these individuals, and you can see how the beneficiaries will become productive to the community. I just want to say thank you so much for putting us in your prayer, the people of South Sudan, for your concern. You know, you travel all the way from the U.S. to be part of this, to be part of the witness.
Everybody's concerned. Everybody is worried. The people is worried. But they are encouraged as well, because they see the church working for them, trying to find solutions. It's not over yet. They have hope.
Thank you, Lutheran Church of Hope, for your help, for your support, for your prayers. Thank you for everything you're doing for families to feed themselves, for providing help to those in need. God bless you, and God multiply what you have given.
You know, over the years, Hope have partnered with us to bring the church to where the church is now. It's a ministry by which we gain access into the hearts of the people and gain access into the whole community of the people, so that the gospel then can enter in. Hope is really bringing hope to the nations. And I say this very, very, you know, serious because of where I'm coming from. And our partnership and what it has done for the people of Ghana.
Good morning, and I want to continue to extend the welcome to all of you who are joining us here in West Des Moines, those of you who are joining us at Hope Waukee, at Hope Ankeny, at all of our local sites online. It's a really good time to come together and be the church. That video that you saw there is a glimpse of the church in action. That's who we're called to be. Faith is not something that's dormant. Faith is not something that's passive. Faith is something that's incredibly active. There's this word that's used all throughout the Gospels. It's all throughout the Bible, but in the Gospels alone, 200 times this word go is used. Like, there's an activity that God invites you to. It's an activity that God invites me to, that God invites all of us to be a part of. And that video that you saw, they're just some snapshots of just the few of the global mission partners that we have. If you're here in West Des Moines, you saw the tables, I would encourage you to go and visit them. But what you hear is their stories. Stories of what they're doing, of the impact of what God is doing through them. And really, when we talk about this, when we talk about what does it mean to be a world changer, what does it mean to spread the word of Jesus across the world, it's about following the call of Jesus. There's that word go. Jesus, just before he ascends into heaven, he says, therefore go. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Jesus doesn't say just go to the people who are around you. Don't go to just the people who you like. Go to the people who you would prefer that you would be able to share the message of what I've done on the cross and the victory I had over the grave. Oh, Jesus says go to all the nations. And so we have these partners who have this unique call. One of the things I would encourage you to do, if you have the opportunity to talk to any of our partners that are out in the entryway today, is ask them their story. Ask them how they got involved in what they're doing and what it is that drew them to that. And they'll talk about this thing that God put on their heart that they couldn't say no to. It's really easy to say no to things at times, isn't it? When we think that something might inconvenience us, or we think that something might cost us something, it's easy for us to put it at a distance. And Jesus says, no, you don't get to put this at a distance. This isn't a suggestion. This is a command. Go into all of the nations. And so we have San Diego Baja. You saw them in the video, who are building homes in Tijuana for people who don't have homes. You have Enlace, which in Spanish means link, where they link the community leaders to the local church to satisfy the needs of their community. You have Robin's Nest in Jamaica that provides homes for children who don't have it. You have Child Voice, who brings women in Uganda out of the trafficking industry and brings them to a place of sustainability. We have Convoy of Hope and Lutheran Disaster Response that respond to the needs that exist in the world. Over the course of the last few years, we've had horrible wars that have broken out. And we've said to you, we said, hey, we have buckets in the back, and we invite you to give that, and every penny of what you give goes directly to people who are in need. Convoy of Hope and Lutheran Disaster Response, they're doing that. In fact, people have asked so many questions over the course of the last few months of what are we doing in response to what's going on to the victims in Gaza. And I can tell you through our partnership with these two groups of people that people are getting relief, and there's more to be done. We have the Honduras, the MDM Honduras, which is a medical mission trip, which is a new trip for us. If you have medical training, I want you to check that out. We have Many Hands for Haiti that works in Haiti, but they also work in the Bahamas for people who to help bring life to people who are not experiencing it. We have GlobeServe, Pastor Sam Dunia, you heard him on the video. It's bringing clean water, who's building churches, who's providing a primary school. We do all of that, and we support all of that because we're a church that's after God's own heart. That's what we're talking about this entire year. If we're going to go all in with Jesus, if we're going to be a church that's after God's own heart, what does that mean? What does that call look like? How do we do that both locally, but how do we do that globally? How do we answer the question, like if hope were to go away tomorrow, if for whatever reason hope were to drop off the face of the earth, would anybody notice? Like, would the world look different? And look, I don't say that in a way that has any sort of arrogance to it. We got to remember what John the Baptist reminded of the people who were following him. John the Baptist, who had been sent to prepare the way for the Lord's coming. John the Baptist said, I myself am not the light. I am not the light. Lutheran Church of Hope, we are not the light. Any church across the world is not the light. Any of our mission partners, they are not the light. But we all have a call. Every single one of us who call on the name of Jesus, we have a responsibility. We have an invitation. We get to be a part of an incredible journey to point people to the light of Jesus Christ, to the love of Jesus Christ, to the promise that God gives us through what Jesus did on the cross. And so we've been doing that as we've been talking through our 10 goals for 10 years. We're halfway through that. So the beginning of this series that we started in this year of A Church After God's Own Heart, first week we talked about this call to do the work of evangelism, to broadcast the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. And 2 weeks ago, we had two different goals that we put together, the call to be unity agents, to build bridges of harmony. And in fact, in doing that, we become city changers, of making our city, making our community, making where it is that we exist, wherever it is that you exist, to make that community look different. And this week, we're going to talk about what it means to be a world changer. It's our fifth goal, to construct new church buildings, to construct clean water wells, provide malaria nets in developing countries that God could use as holy ground, to respond effectively, actively, and generously in response to global issues as the Spirit leads, to send hundreds of volunteers on short-term mission trips all over the world. Can't tell you how many people I talk to consistently who say, oh, I would just love to go and do something like that, but. And then you list all of the things that kind of get in the way of you responding to that call that God's placed on your heart. Go out and talk to them. See where they're going. See when they're going. Because I can tell you, aside from my own relationship with Jesus Christ and aside from the relationship with my wife and my two kids, the experience that I've had on three of the mission trips that I've gone on globally are the most transformational experiences that I've ever had. One of the things we say all the time is it's really useful to walk a mile in another person's shoes. And it can become really easy to kind of live our lives within this little bubble of comfort that we've created. And we all do it. It's not a bad thing. But sometimes we need to break through that and to go experience it and to see. And to see what God's doing all over the world. And not because we have all the answers and we're the only ones who have something to give. One of the things that I've experienced when I've gone and served is sometimes I have the temptation that as I go, I think about all the things that I'm going to do. And when I come home, I realize all the ways that they're so rich and I was so poor. But there definitely is a need. One of the things that is really helpful is to tell stories. Stories are important. Stories help us to encounter something in a different way. One of the stories that I love to tell more than any other story, my kids love to hear this story. They love to hear how my wife Bridget and I, how we met and the journey of us dating and then we got married. We met for the very first time when I was 23, she was 22. We were both young teachers in the West Fargo school system. We shared the same department. And so we met each other, but we didn't go on our first date for 6.5 years. And I'll tell you, it's not because of my lack of trying. It took her 6.5 years to warm to the idea of me. Like I thought to myself, like I would ask no, I asked no, I would ask no. And then finally I wore her down. I wore her down. She couldn't say no any longer. And so I asked her one time, I had tickets for a Jack Johnson concert. I'm like, hey, I got an extra Jack Johnson ticket. Do you want to come? And she said yes. And I'm like, really? Yeah? And later did I find out that she had just told herself that that year of her life was going to be the year of yes. So I was just like, I was just lucky to like one whim that she had. And so she said yes. And here's the thing. 6 weeks later, I put a ring on it because I didn't want her to think twice about it. Because I realized like if she said, you don't clap. You're clapping to encourage her, like to say, you can do it. You can do it. Like it's okay. But I love to tell that story. One, because I think it's a fun story. I think there's some humor in the story, but you want to know the other reason I tell the story? It's because when I tell that story, I fall in love with her again. It's important for us to tell the story of what God's doing in our lives, of what God's doing in the life of the church, because it's a really good story. And then we fall in love with it again. We're reminded of how holy it is, how important it is, how transformational it is. Just a snapshot of what you hope you've been doing. This is you, what you've been doing, what God has done through you. Last year alone, this is crazy. As a church, last year alone, we as a church gave $4.5 million away to our local and global mission partners. That's crazy. Praise God for that. I said the whole thing, like, would the world look different if hope didn't exist? $4.5 million. That's crazy. We have this really wild goal as a church to give half of everything we get back away. That the offering money that you trust to us, we're grateful for that. That we'd give half of that back to the world around us. We've been blessed, but we've been blessed to be a blessing. Through Cafe Hope, just this past year, we've given over $40,000 away. Some of you, and I've heard it, you're new to Hope, and you're like, you even have a coffee shop? What is this, the mall? Or some people will say, well, Pastor Jeremy, Jesus went into the temple and he flipped the tables for people who were making money off of God's word. Here's the thing about our coffee shop, not just here, but at all of our locations. It's a nonprofit coffee shop. Every penny of profit that comes to that coffee shop goes straight out in mission. So when you drink your coffee, you're feeding the world. When your teenagers and kids drink gallons upon gallons upon gallons of smoothies, those things are nuts. You should see this place on a Wednesday night. The line goes from the coffee shop like down to the Jordan Creek Mall. That's how many kids, like, that's not good. Like, maybe we need to have a talk about that, but we put special, like, healthy stuff in those smoothies. But we think, if kids want smoothies, how can we use that at a fair price to serve the world? Our clothing that our communications team designs. It's so cool. Like, I have an 11-year-old daughter. She's in middle school. And she'll be like, Dad, I need to get that sweatshirt. Can I get that sweatshirt? I'm like, absolutely. Because one, it gets our name out there. But two, you're feeding the world, serving the world. We don't do it to make money. We do it because we say, God, there's this thing that people want, and we can use anything to help satisfy the needs of the world around us. You heard Pastor Sam talk in that video. Over 300 churches in Western Africa constructed through your generosity. Here's what's nuts. At Lutheran Church of Hope, throughout all our local campuses online, our local sites online, our campuses, we'll have a lot of people that will worship together this weekend. More people will worship in Western Africa by the churches that you built in Western Africa than will worship here in Central Iowa, because God's doing some crazy things. Yeah, that's really cool. Last year, for Thinking Globally, $400,000 to build homes for people in Tijuana. There's a lot of trips to go and do that. I encourage you to do it. It's a transformational trip. Over $500,000 to distribute Bibles in some Indian languages to people who didn't have access to God's Word. Like I said earlier, to respond to the crisis that's happening in war-torn countries. The challenge in saying that and sharing that is there are some of us who will say, well, it's really good that we do things for people out there, but why don't we do anything for people right here? Or why do we, I hear this, and some of us are thinking this, why do we do so much for them and we don't do very much for us? Why does it have to be an either or? Why can't it be a both and? I mean, is our love contained to just the people that we want to love? If I check and I look at what the Bible has to say, if I look at what Jesus has to say, it doesn't seem like we can put the limits on who we love and how we love. John 3:16, for God so loved the, help me out with this, God so loved the, okay, that's not just our neighborhood. It seems to me that God has a heart for all of his creation. It seems to me, if I read Scripture and if I'm faithful in my interpretation of Scripture, when God created humanity, he created all of humanity in his very image. Very beginning of the story. Male and female, he created them. In the very image, in the very likeness of God, he created them. And so everybody who inhabits this place called Earth has been created in the image of God. And who are we to say who should be loved and who shouldn't be loved? Who should be served and who shouldn't be served? Jesus was asked a question because there are people who wanted to trip him up. Said, of all of the commandments, of all the rules that you've put out there, what's the most important one? And Jesus responds with a command that's found in the Old Testament, a very paramount one. A command, a prayer now, if you're a practicing Jewish person, you would pray this prayer 2 times a day. It's called the Shema. And when you pray this prayer, you would put your hands in front of your face to block out all distractions. Because this is absolutely central to what it means to follow God, what it means to follow Jesus. What's the most important commandment? Jesus says you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Very intentional why it starts with heart. In the language of the New Testament, in the Greek of the New Testament, that word is cardia. It's the same word, different word, but the same word in the Hebrew of the Old Testament. And when we think about heart, too often we think about like emotion or sentiment. Like I'm really heartfelt towards someone. Actually, the people who would hear what Jesus said knew that the heart was the control seat of all decisions, of all thought, of all your actions. So when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all that you are, let God, let your love of God be center and let it be central. It's where we get like to follow our heart doesn't mean like we're very whimsical about it. To follow our heart says that all that we have, we're going to follow that. And Jesus says, so love God with all that you are. And because when you do that, there's a second thing that comes along with it. Because when you love God that much, you experience his love and that love flows out of you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then Jesus says, and there's a second one. and love your neighbor. And love your neighbor is you love yourself. Now, sometimes there's a challenge that some of us have in loving ourselves. And if that's you, here's what I want you to know. Just a couple minutes ago, I said that all of humanity has been created in the image of God, and so are you. And whoever you are right now, you are worthy and deserving of God's love. You are worthy and deserving of life, fully. And so worthy are you that Jesus gave his life for you. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And the person who heard this said, well, who's my neighbor? I kind of want to know what the limits are. Like, this is a boundary kind of question. Like, Jesus, so what are the boundaries to that? Who's my neighbor? This surface that I'm standing on, we affectionately call the football. It's actually in the shape of a football. And so if this football were the boundaries of who is my neighbor, I wonder who I would invite up here with me. And ultimately, when I would be doing that, I would be answering the question of who do I believe is worthy of love? It's kind of hard to think about it that way. We're saying, well, Jesus wasn't really saying that. He was just saying love. No, Jesus was saying who is worthy and worth being loved. That can be very challenging. I just thought we're talking about global missions today. We can talk about the what, but it's more important to talk about the why. Because not only was the man asking who was worth it, by definition, he was also asking who wasn't. Like, is there a part of any of us that thinks that any human life is dispensable? I mean, we just have to wrestle with that just a little bit. Like, do I believe that there is somebody out there whose life isn't worth it? Whose life is dispensable? Like, if they lose their life, like, no, can we honestly come to terms with thinking like that? Created in the image of God. Life is a gift. Been given to us by the creator of the universe, every single person. And God says they're worth it. Remember years ago, we did this project with Habitat for Humanity, one of our local projects. And there was some rules in the city of Des Moines that were enacting that if a house didn't have certain things, that house would be condemned. So there were repairs that needed to be made in all of these homes, and if the people who lived in those homes couldn't make those repairs, then they would lose their home. And so we worked with Habitat for Humanity, because the awful thing that was happening was that there were people that were having to make the decision of, do I make the repair? And if I make the repair, I cannot make dinner. I cannot provide clothing. I cannot keep the heat on. I cannot keep the lights on. So we're working with Habitat for Humanity to help to make the repairs and also to build new homes in that neighborhood. And I remember my daughter Jade, she was really little when we were doing that project, and we were driving around the car. She's very compassionate and empathetic. She feels. So we're driving around the car, and I don't know how we got on the subject of this project we were doing. And so I was trying to explain it to her in language that she would understand. So I was telling her, like, well, sweetheart, we're going to do this because there are some people who don't have a home. She's like, well, Dad, why don't they have a home? Well, they can't afford it. So, well, what happens if they can't afford it and they don't have a home? Well, they could go to a shelter. What happens if the shelter doesn't have room for them? And I said, well, that's what we call homelessness. And she said, one of the most convicting things that I've ever been told in my life from a young grade schooler. She said, well, Dad, we have space in our house. Can we have them stay with us? And I would love to tell you, I said, absolutely. Open the doors wide open. But isn't there this thing that rises up inside of us to kind of reason to say, well, sweetheart, like we can't do that. Like we can do something, we can't do that. And she's like, hey, we have a space that's not being used. And there's somebody that doesn't have a space, so why don't we give it to them? And so the question is, when we look at the needs of the world around us, is do we have space? Not just physically, but in our hearts, in our minds, in the actions that we do, in our schedules, in the things that we do. Do we have space to give to people what they need because maybe we have extra of what they need? There's a lot of work to do. And sometimes it can feel incredibly overwhelming. Jesus says, well, the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of stuff to do, but the workers are few. So Jesus says, pray that the workers would come. And I guess very actively and audibly today, that's our prayer. For all of us. We all have the opportunity, not a threat, but we all have the opportunity. Maybe a better word is we all have the invitation from the God who created us to go out into the harvest and serve the people who have needs. But too often we say, well, what can I do? I nearly don't have what, I mean, the need is so great and I have so little. There's a story of a young girl who is with her dad. She's on the beach. A tropical storm had just happened, and the beach is littered with thousands of starfish. And the little girl knows that if those starfish stay on the beach, the starfish are going to die. And so she starts going up and down the beach, and one by one, she's picking up starfish, and she's throwing them back into the water. And there's a guy that's there that sees her doing that, and he starts to chuckle. And he says to the girl, my dear, surely you can't save them all. And she said, well, I can save that one, and I can save that one, and I can save that one. And what if we started to look at it one by one? Remember what John the Baptist said. We, me, myself, I am not the light. But who is it that I can point to the light of Jesus Christ, not just by what I say, but by what I do? Because my heart, the control center of who I am, calls me to do it. Our actions follow where our heart is. The disciples, and they're with Jesus, and there's a crowd that has come and surrounded him. Thousands of people. Bible said if you were just to count the men in that group, it'd be at least 5,000 people. If you were to count the women and you count the children, we're thinking 12 to 15,000 people had come to hear what Jesus was saying, had come to see what Jesus was doing. And the disciples started to look, and they started to get worried. And they're like, look at all the people who are here. What could we possibly do? They're going to have a need that we can't satisfy. They're going to want something to eat, and we can't possibly feed them. So they look at Jesus, and they say, Jesus, send them away. You got to get them out of here, because Jesus, it's not our problem. I wonder how many times in any of our lives we've said the same thing. Not my problem. See, we only have a few loaves of bread and a few fish. What can I do? What can we do? When we feel the same way, and Jesus' response to us is, look, just give me what you have. Just see what happens when you give me what you have and you see what I can do with it. It's miraculous. I don't know about you, but in this last year, Jeremy Johnson could not have given $4.5 million away. Not a chance. But you as a church, miraculously, we say, hey, here's what I have. Look what happens. The world changes. Jesus just says, you don't have to have it all. You just need to see it. Beautiful thing about Jesus. Read through the Gospels again. We did it last year. I hope you're doing it again. And if you're doing it again, you're in the middle of the Gospels right now. And one of the things that you'll see, just start reading for it, start looking for it, is when Jesus came upon a group of people, when Jesus came upon individuals, regardless of who they were, regardless of where they were from, the scripture continually says, he saw them. He saw who they were, that he saw what they were doing. He had the ability to uniquely see what it was that they needed. And too often we get so tunnel vision that the whole world is going on around us and we don't even see it. It's kind of like a junior high kid watching TV. Have you ever noticed, if you have them in your house, I remember when I was a junior high kid, like my mom would have to tell me, like, you need to turn the TV off right now because I'm going to tell you something. And if you have the TV on, when I tell you this, you're going to pretend like you actually won't ever hear it. You have somebody in your house where they're into something, and you're like, hey, could you, like, take the garbage out? And then half an hour later, they're still sitting there just staring at something. Like, did you not hear me? They're like, say what? Would you say something? And too often we do that in our lives. We get so focused on what we're doing, on our path, on our journey, on our lives, on our family's lives, on our family's path, that we tune everything else, and we don't see the fact that we have people all around us who have needs. The invitation of Jesus is to look around. And we all have needs, don't we? Mother Teresa was asked a question. Mother Teresa, she's a nun. She served in Calcutta, India, most overpopulated, poorest place for a long time on the face of the earth. Spent her life in devotion to coming alongside the poor. And so Mother Teresa was asked a question once upon a time, like, what's the poorest place you've ever been? And without skipping a beat, she said the United States of America. And the reporter thought that she misunderstood the question. So the reporter asked the question again, and she said, poverty isn't only measured financially. It's by relationships. You see, the opportunity we have as a church, the opportunity that we have as a family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. One body, one family, not just here at Lutheran Church of Hope, but around the world, is to see and to respond. The Bible reading you heard just a few minutes ago, Matthew chapter 25. This story that Jesus is telling about a king who looks at people and he says, blessings to you, like, God bless you, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. You saw the needs that I had. And they said, so, but when did we ever see you? And when did we ever feed you? And when did we ever clothe you? And when did we ever give you something to drink? And Jesus said, anything you do to another human being, you do to me. That which you did to the least of these. Now we've got to be really careful. Because what Jesus was not saying is that there were those that were important and those that were less important. Lest we get a Messiah complex. We all have something to give. The mission trips that I've gone on, I talked about it before. If I could have given a tenth of what I received, I would have been so thankful. We all have something to give. And we all have something we need. Jesus is talking about those who are in a place financially, relationally, spiritually, who don't have anything. He says, that which you did to the least of these, you did it to me. How you respond to the world really resembles your response to Jesus, what he's saying. One of the trips I went on was to Haiti with Many Hands for Haiti. And just like so many of our global mission partners that are here, you can find out more about them online. I encourage you to do so. But they operate financially in the poorest places in the world. It's unbelievable. Many of them, if you were to consider impoverished places, third world countries, these places, they would be considered fourth world countries. I mean, the needs, financial, physical needs that exist in those places, it's overwhelming. I had the opportunity to go and to walk and to talk to people and to learn their stories. And then to be able to hear people share their stories about what it meant when somebody stepped into their life to offer them help, to offer them love. I just wonder, have you ever had somebody do that in your own life? Maybe had a coach or a band instructor or a teacher or a friend or an adult or a parent or a grandparent that stepped into your life at the most primary of intersections for you, where your life could have gone this way or your life could have gone that way, and that person stepped in and they got you back to the place where you knew you needed to go. That's love. So I was able to hear people who have been loved and had been loved like that, and I want to share one of their stories with you. Take a look.
Difficulté mu ko noé ñen def parfois moati mu ñu sal nan la ria yo pa gen bay nan pied yo ke moi le Jenny Flo mi avec Sylvain c'est de mon pile parce que moi j'étais malade il était bon soin qui fait mon cas là je dis moi j'étais malade moi j'étais anémie moi j'étais à 4 grammes sang mais grâce à lui qui m'a mis à l'hôpital, qui fait là. Pour les malades, je toujours manger. Pour les malades, je toujours aller à Misson. Pour me toujours travailler. Car fait caille puis j'ai l'argent puis fait caille puis quand vous puis j'ai l'argent puis vous êtes venu à l'école puis caille de nous moi j'aime un peu le bagaille ça blanc et offert parce que j'ai aidé un peu là ici.
Jesus tells the story after the man asks the question of who is my neighbor. The story he responds with is the story of the Good Samaritan. There was a person who was left at that intersection of your life could go this way or it could go that way. That place where he didn't have a chance and he didn't have any hope. And there are people who passed him by that just didn't pay him any notice. They were so focused in what they were doing that they didn't see him. And then the Samaritan came. And the Samaritan gave everything he had away to the one who was in need. If we're going to speak very practically, that's what love is. Love that comes from God, it's a love that's self-sacrificing. Because that's what Jesus did. You think back to that scripture passage, for God so loved the world. Now here comes the definition of it. For God so loved the world that what did he do? What did love do? He gave everything he had away. He saw humanity. He saw a humanity that he had created. He saw a humanity that he loved. And he saw that they had a need that they couldn't satisfy on their own. You and I, there is no possible way that we can overcome the reality of our sin, that we can overcome the reality of evil in this world, that we can overcome the reality and the physical finality of death. And Jesus saw that, and he didn't think it was okay because he thought that we were worth it. Every single one of us, when Jesus was selecting people to join us and join him in the place of who deserves love, he let them all come in. He opened the door wide open. He said, come to me. You are worth it. You are worthy. You deserve to be loved. Not by what you've done, but because I love you. So God, seeing us in a place where we had need, he gave everything he had away so we would have life. So what Jesus says to you and what Jesus says to me, he says, go and do the same. Don't sit on it any longer. Don't say, well, sometime or someday when I get enough or I have enough or time, money, whatever it is, and then at that point, I will start taking the tunnel vision away and I'll start to see the need. No, do it today. And that doesn't mean just going on a trip. It doesn't mean giving to one of our partners. It doesn't mean just any of it. It means open your eyes, open your heart. Receive his love and give his love. Receive his love and give his love. Receive his love and give his love. That's when life starts to hit the stride. That's when we start to realize who we are and why we've been created and what our purpose is here on this earth. So receive his love and give his love. It's the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He's says, those of you who hear these words of mine and you put them into practice are like the wise builder who builds their life on the solid rock. The winds come, the storms come, but the house will not be shaken because it's built on the bedrock, has a firm foundation. Church, today, go and do the same. Go talk to our global mission partners. Get involved. Love the world around you. So as we close today, we have time. I'm going to turn it over to the campuses. And here in West Des Moines, please stand up. Please stand up. And we're going to sing this song. Song is a song that you know. It's anthemic. And this is the song that will catapult you, catapult me, catapult us to love the world around us. So we're going to sing. And then we're going to go talk to the mission partners. And then we're going to go home. Amen? Amen.